Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Richard Dotson. He's Matthew O'Hara.
Hey, hey.
He's Garrett Price.
Yeah, how's it going?
And he's Jared Wackerly.
What's up?
Worst hellos ever. We're back. Episode 4, the final episode, the final countdown of the rookie running backs of 2024. Next time we talk about these guys, it's going to be during our overall rank set.
Thank the Lord.
So let's go ahead and pop on our swim shorts and dive right in.
That's
it. To go El Natural, skinny dipper.
I'm not going to say I haven't done it.
The worst part is getting through these really bad guys.
Yep. There's a couple of them in this.
The villains group of the story.
But there's more there's more decent ones in this episode, too, than there were last episode.
Yeah.
It's a wide range in this episode.
I think that's sure. I think we're going to cover all the ranges.
Yeah.
I think we're about to go on a very good adventure. Home on the range.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, Dynasty Nerds, it's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you, with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
All right, let's get it kicked off here. Blake Corum, wide receiver. Oh boy,
you did that last time too.
Running back, Michigan.
Braylon Allen.
Once an episode.
5'7" 3/4" is tall. 205 pounds. He's nine so inch smooth. 9-inch hands. 28 7/8 inch arms. 70 1/8 inch wingspan. He's 23. He'll be 24 in November. He's got a 40-yard dash time of 4.53. He had a 1.58 10-yard split, a 20-yard shuttle. He did a 4.12 in a three-cone. Very good. 6.82.
Shows up on tape.
It sure does. He had 27 bench press reps, 35.5-inch vert. Last year at Michigan in 15 games, he had 258 rush attempts, 1,245 yards rushing, 27 touchdowns. 16 receptions, 117 yards, and an additional touchdown to bring that total up to 28. Woo.
Wow. So a lot of people like Blake Corum. He's pretty high in a lot of analyst lists when it comes to running back position. They're thinking day two capital, and I don't think he's bad, but he falls in that category for me.
How painful was that for you to say?
I mean, it's okay.
Don't think he's bad.
He's you villains. First it was Bane breaking my back. Now you show up on my doorstep with your little 24-year-old 5-foot helmet on. It looks like somebody peed on it.
Oh, come on now.
Disgusting.
All right.
You know who you are. listen, there's some things I like that he does. Like, I really like his lateral agility a lot. Mm-hmm. I like the way he sees his vision in between tackles when he's boxed up, and how he's able to use his feet so quickly to move laterally to all of a sudden just pop out of that congested pile to gain extra 4 to 5 yards. I think he does that really well. He's a nice north and south runner. I think his contact balance, which attributes to all that as well. So it's finally he has good lateral agility and good vision inside the pocket. It would all be meaningless if he didn't have good contact balance. He has excellent contact balance as well there. So I thought it was all really nice about Blake Corum. But at the same time, it's like the dude's not a big-time player. He doesn't have like a ton of juice. I saw a good stat from Lance Zierlein Hedner said, where did I go? Just 12 of his last 45 rushing touchdowns went for more than 5 yards. And that kind of like defines Blake Corum a little bit there as well. I thought like he's not overly like elusive once he gets past that scrummage at the line
scrummage.
There. It's just he kind of gets what's there.
We know that Rich makes words up on the fly here. Come on.
I'm just trying to figure out if that was meant to be
scrimmage
amount of scrum.
It's scrum and scrimmage.
Scrimmage and scrum together.
Yeah.
Yep. It's from rugby.
I'm sure the line of scrimmage came from a scrum.
I come out the scuffle without a scuffle. You know, one of those kind of things going on. So for me, Blake Corum is a nice, fine running back. Like he's good. He fits in the NFL offense for sure. He'll make a team. I don't know how fantasy football relevant he can be. If he was made the feature back, though, of an offense, like he's relevant, right? Like, but absolutely. I just don't know. With his age, like how much of that life, that running back window he has. He's a true he's a true one contract running back. So agreed. First contract, yeah. Hashtag 2-3 year window. I think it'd be a mid range to low end running back two on your roster for short term in the right system. So like if it all turns out and he gets drafted by the Chargers in the third round and he goes there to compliment, you know, him and Gus Edwards, then yeah, he's fantasy football relevant. But like he needs to be in the right system. He needs to get the draft capital. If not, he's just going to be like he goes in the fourth, fifth round, somewhere around there on a team as running back. He's kind of guy that helps the NFL team. I don't know if he helps your dynasty roster that much, but he's capable too. So like I don't want to say like he's in that fourth tier of running backs. So like where I have Will Shipley, who we're talking about soon here, in his own tier. So it's like Trey Benson by himself, a couple of running backs that we already talked about, one we're going to talk about here soon. And then Will Shipley. Then Blake Corum comes in that. He's in a Ray Davis category for me. So, like, I like Ray Davis. I'm probably the highest on Ray Davis out of everybody here. Like, he's in that category for me. So, I like Ray Davis a lot, and I have Blake Corum right in there. Whoever ever gets in the best landing spot will probably be higher in my rankings.
Sure. Yeah, for me, he's a weird guy to watch because he is, at times, he looks like he has excellent vision and everything's working for him. He can piece together some things and break some nice runs. A lot of the times you're watching him grind out 3 or 4 yards, you know what I mean? And that is what he is in college. 205 pounds takes you, I think, a little bit farther than it does in the NFL. So I do have questions there. I don't question his toughness at all. I think he can do it. I'm just not sure how long he's going to hold up with the same sort of success that he had. Cause I think in college he was able to wear down defenses, doing that and then pop big runs that were kind of like backbreaking big runs. And I don't know that he has the speed to kind of break as many of those big runs in the NFL. So that's where I kind of have questions about him. But like you, I don't want to make it sound like it's all negative because I think if he did get a job, he could do some things. But those are some of the major questions I have about him because he's an odd guy because he can break big runs in college and run away from guys. So he almost, but at the same time, maybe it's not the acceleration. Maybe he's got the long speed is there, but maybe this acceleration, immediate acceleration to get there isn't there for me.
His vision puts him in sometimes position where he has such a wide hole. Like if you give him that lane, he'll take it.
But a lot of times he's just grinding out 3-4 yards, which is useful for NFL teams. They like that sometimes, you know, when you're trying to kill a drive and, you know, kill a clock, he could do that kind of stuff.
When it comes to Blake Corum, for me, he ended up as my RB6 in the class. He's in almost identical score to Will Shipley. They're both very close. I have Corum slightly ahead of Shipley, but that could easily flip either way. They're both in the same tier for me. you guys said a lot of the things that I agree with. I wasn't overwhelmed by his tape. I wasn't underwhelmed. I was just, I was whelmed. I think part of the equation here is Michigan had a fantastic offensive line.
Very good.
They had a very, very good offensive line. And sometimes, similarly, a terrible offensive line can make an evaluation difficult, but sometimes a really, really good offensive line can make an evaluation difficult. And I think that's kind of what happened here, where so often he was able to get ahead of steam without being touched. He was able, and he does have good vision, so I think he did a good job finding those lanes and finding those holes, but sometimes it's pretty easy when it's 6 foot wide to right. find that hole. It's not, you don't need an expert marksman in the vision to be able to find that
and
kind
that,
of hole.
And that was typically when he was breaking out big runs. Yep. Was when he was running through holes like that.
And he even, his tight ends did a good job of blocking downfield. Mm-hmm. His receivers did a good job of blocking downfield. Like this was a good team. This was a well-coached team that did a lot of things the right way.
The national championship, give it away.
That was one of the things that made me realize that. But you have other little intangible things too with Blake Corum. Everyone talked about his leadership ability. That was kind of preached over and over and over again. And similar to when I was talking about JJ McCarthy, I talked about how the ball wasn't in his hands really for most of the game. It's because it was in Blake Corum's hands. So he did show that he can get it done. He can do enough. I just don't know how much of that was him and how much of that was the entire team around him, but he was the one with the ball in his hands for the majority of the game. So I don't want to take anything away from him. Good vision, decent quickness, but I don't know if there's really enough there to really consistently win at the next level.
He's in a perfect ecosystem for a Blake Corum thriving.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him difficult, right? Because he did well, but there were so many factors.
So many other factors.
That none of us are going to know until he gets on an NFL team.
How does Marshawn Lloyd, how does Trey Benson, how does Jonathan Brooks look on a team like this? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Sexy. Right. Super sexy.
Super sexy. That's sexy.
That's really sexy. Yeah.
And it's not to say that he's a good athlete. He's just not a phenomenal athlete.
It is one of those situations.
He's very fine at everything he does.
Yep. If he ended up being, you know, RB15 for the most part over the next 5 years, it wouldn't surprise me. If he ended up never really getting a job and just kind of a good backup for a team for a long time, that wouldn't surprise me either. Like, there's a decent range of outcomes,
yep.
but that high end isn't there. But I don't think he's a guy that's going to be, like, out of the league or anything like that.
He's the kind of guy that I'm drafting probably. If he gets the right draft capital, end of the second round, somewhere around there.
And what is the right draft capital?
I think he'll get over.
Chargers.
End of day three.
He's a third round guy. Pretty soundly.
I cannot imagine him being a second.
After that.
I think there's a better chance of fourth than there is a second.
Oh, 100%.
I agree with
100%.
That.
I don't know how he gets drafted ahead of Jonathan Brooks. I don't know how he gets drafted ahead of Marshawn Lloyd. There's 0% chance he gets drafted ahead of Trey Benson. Yeah. I could envision NFL teams taking Braylon Allen out of him.
Potentially. Jared, what are your thoughts on him?
Going in, I was hoping to see more. I mean, I was a little underwhelmed, just like you guys. I watched a ton of college football, and just from the outside looking in, like, I like Blake Corum. I took him in a couple of our mock drafts over the last year when we did the early rookie mocks. But diving into his tape, just like you guys, like, not enough juice there for me. I know you had his vision graded really high. I thought his vision was just okay. I thought at times like he was rushing it a little bit in his approach to the line of scrimmage, where I thought he could have been a little more patient. Is extremely quick, can catch the ball. He'll do a lot of the little things for you. I think he, just in the name factor, and I think he will get drafted like with draft capital higher than I think he should. I just think I won't get any shares of him because I think he'll get overdrafted in rookie drafts.
Agree. He'll go in a lot of second rounds.
Yeah. So I think I'm just echoing kind of a lot of what you guys are saying. He's not bad. He's like 67 or 68 for me.
We keep saying the Chargers too. Like, can he do better in what he does than Gus Edwards, who's averaged 5 yards per carry? You know, like, can't even, is that the right spot for him? Like, I don't vision that even being the right spot for him.
Yeah. I mean, it is because it's going to be the same scheme.
Yeah.
So it is in that sense, but I get what you're saying. Like, I don't know that he's better than Gus Edwards.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I meant.
So yeah, I get you.
Does he go to Baltimore and he's just Derrick Henry's backup?
Could be.
You know what I mean?
Could be. He could be the Deion Lewis to...
What about Keaton Mitchell?
His, you know, to Derrick
coming Henry. Off an ACL injury, Keaton Mitchell.
He'll be all right.
He's fast.
He is so fast.
All right.
Next. All right. So next up, Marshawn Lloyd, USC running back, 5'8" 3/4", 220 pounds, 8 3/4" hands. Rich, is that enough for you? 30 3/8" arms, 73 5/8" wingspan. He is 23, newly minted. It was January that he turned 23. In the 40, he ran a 4.46. He had a 1.56 10-yard split. And a broad jump, 118 inches, 25 bench press reps, 36-inch vertical. Last year, in 11 games, he had 116 rushing attempts, 820 rushing yards, 9 rushing touchdowns, 13 receptions, 232 yards, and no additional touchdowns. Rich, Garrett.
Me this time, yep.
Garrett.
I've been talking about Marshawn Lloyd for a decent amount of time now. He's a guy that's been on my radar. He's been on a lot of my Devy teams. I talked to him. I talked about him coming into the season and the preseason and postseason. And I've been talking about
draft
him
season and
all the time,
all the seasons.
He's been
Christmas
a guy.
Season.
Yeah, yeah. Groundhog's Day, yep. Valentine's Day, all kinds of stuff.
St. Patrick's Day was just the other day. You missed St. Patrick's Day.
Dang it!
Come on, man.
Well, I didn't wear green, so it was kind of embarrassing. All of that being said, kind of like Blake Corum, he's a guy that I've been watching for a long time, and being disappointed with Blake Corum's film, you're like, oh no, am I going to be disappointed with his film?
Is round two of the disappointment train coming?
No, and I wasn't. I wasn't disappointed at all. I watched his tape and I really, really enjoyed it. Before Trey Benson, he was really battling with Jonathan Brooks for that top spot. In my rookie running back rankings, they actually ended up having an identical score, which does not happen very often. So they both ended up with a 74.83, both Jonathan Brooks and Marshawn Lloyd. So really high marks. I thought he had really good vision overall. He's a very elusive player, especially when you consider his elusiveness and his speed with that 220-pound frame that he's working with, and he's not a very tall guy, so he packs a good punch. Like when you're talking about, you know, BMI, like he's got a great BMI for a running back. So there was
just the way you said that.
I mean, it was great. it was fantastic.
His BMI is 32.48, which is second in the class.
Yeah.
And first is Mayan Williams. So
thick with two C's.
He's first in the class.
Well, that's different. I'm sure my BMI would be fantastic, but that doesn't help anything for running back. So all that being said, I didn't have, except for one, I did not have anything that was below average for Marshawn Lloyd. His vision was above average. His breaking tackle ability was above average. His contact ability was above average. Like sevens and eights.
I see that.
Just littered across my, like, I think he has such a well-developed all-around game. Yes, I know he's another one that had some injury, transferred from South Carolina to USC, but I think he really displayed this last season what he's able to do in the right offense. He can beat you with power. He can beat you with speed. He can beat you with elusiveness. He can beat you so many ways. Has some work to do in the pass pro game. It was pretty poor. He wasn't very good at protecting the quarterback there, but things that he can learn, adjust. So it's not a concern for me, but that was the big negative for me was he really can't block.
And he tore his ACL in 2020 as well. So it's been a long time. But Matt, I know this is your number one running back on the board and Jared as well, so I'll let you guys go.
No, I mean, I'm going to echo a lot of what you just said there, Garrett. I think he's a guy that does a lot of good things laterally. I think he's very explosive that way. He's got really good burst, acceleration, all that kind of good stuff. I loved his vision as well. He was probably one of the highest rated guys. I don't remember everyone's vision score, but it's up there. You know what I mean? And you know, mentioning him being a bigger back, I think he's got a lot of really good natural power to his game. I don't know that he always uses it. I feel like he does make people miss in the open field an awful lot, and you know, sometimes a power back will just run people over.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that. He'll, which is good. You know, he mixes it up, keeps
you
defenders
see it more around the goal line. Kind of guessing. When you see that power, which is where you want to see it.
Right. So I think he's the type of guy that you're never going to have to take off the field in the pro game, which is great, you know, especially in a draft that I think is light on guys that are true three down guys that kind of excel. You know what I mean? We have a lot of guys that are good at everything, but don't really stand out. And he's got plenty of standout attributes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, he's my top rated guy. I think he's, you know, in the NFL, he's going to be drafted in the second round, which puts him in the conversation pretty easily in the back half of a first round of a rookie draft. So, you know, there's just, he's going to be a, I don't want to make him sound like he's a generational talent though. Like I feel like he's a guy that's going to, he's going to have a few good years as running back one.
He's hashtag 2 to 3.
He is a hashtag 2 to 3 year window type of guy for me.
He's a little bit older.
He's a perfect guy to like come in, has a really good rookie year and trade for like a good high first round pick next year. Like he's that perfect kind of play. Like you want to draft him so you could like use him year one and then flip him right away. That's the kind of good asset he is. Cause you're right. I like this tape as well. I was really impressed with how quick his feet were for his size, you know, for a big stocky like that. Like he had like those AJ Dillon, like he had really quick feet for size. I thought it was really impressive. I love the way that he is lateral ability and agility as well for his size. I thought he catch the ball well.
Yep.
I thought that, you know, he could make, like you say, he can make defenders miss, which is for a guy like of his caliber being, you know, almost basically 5'9", 225. You want to see guys like that that aren't just trying to run players over, that have the quickness and lateral agility to make those guys miss for those extra big plays or give me an extra 3 to 4 yards, which is massive in today's game. I thought he had a couple fumbles on there, like some negatives. I thought he fumbled a couple times. I didn't love that. And I thought his pass, I was with you, I thought his pass protection for a guy of his stature was not good. I thought a ton of other players that are much smaller than him did a much better job at him there. But I definitely see a player that I wrote here is like he's a really good short-term asset in Dynasty that you either write out his career, but I think he's really well-suited that almost to the point where like I think Marshawn Lloyd is worth a slight overdraft in your rookie draft, not because he's so much better than maybe some like or better than receivers that might be there, for where he's probably going to go, but what you'll be able to flip him for in return
on it
afterwards. Because I think he has the kind of style that can come out in the NFL and start banging right away and really produce and kind of be, get flirty at the party, Garrett.
That girl is banging.
He always screws our names up.
He does.
Always.
We're the same person. Apparently. Yeah.
Well, Jared and Garrett, it just sounds like it's so and, close. So Rich for me, I think this is what I love about Marshawn Lloyd. I really do like his tape as well, but I think he screams like instant gratification to dynasty players and fantasy football players once he gets on the field. And I think that alone will kind of open up a door to outweigh your draft capital where you get him in like the high of the second round, you could probably get a first round pick for him in next year's class and get a year out of him.
Matt, I know this is something that you tend to pick up on a lot. And I saw this out of Marshawn Lloyd, so I'm curious if you saw it. One of the things I did really enjoy too is he was a guy that whether he had the ball or not, did a good job of playing through the play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like carried out his fakes really. Like there were several times I thought he had the ball.
Yeah.
Because he really did a great job of carrying out his fakes, which I really appreciate because that shows not just a commitment to the highlight plays for him, but doing well for his teammates.
It shows a deeper understanding of what the whole game is. You know what I mean? And you know, you might not be getting the ball, but your job on that play is to fake like you have the ball. Now fake like you have the ball. So everyone, at least, even if you draw the attention of the defender for a millisecond or a half a second, that's what your job is. And that could be the difference between the person getting open behind them or the quarterback running past them or them getting tackled. You know what I mean? Like, and that is a huge kind of hidden part of the game that not a lot of people even pay attention
Will
to.
Will Shipley did that really well, too.
Shipley did that well.
Really well. Yep. There's one play that he did it on I thought was pretty exceptional where he ran to the out, to the left, for a screen. And then he actually, even as a run, as a quarterback turned to throw it to the right side, even though he was on the left side, he actually put his hands up like this, like he was going to catch the football.
Is this Lloyd or Shipley?
Shipley.
Shipley.
I thought it was pretty. I thought it was
pretty.
Again,
a play, I do. I love those little things.
A play
that
he wasn't like designed to get a ball, but he did that little extra thing, and I was like, I appreciate that.
I do. I appreciate that. And
it's you should do that. That's what you're coached to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, Jerry, I know this is. You said.
Yeah, he's my RB1. He's in his own tier.
Like Benson is for me. So I'd love to hear some more add-on sprinkles on top of ice cream from you.
I think he can just win in every way that you would ask a running back to win. I thought his patience was so good. I graded him a 9, and I thought just his ability to allow the play to develop, allow his lines to catch on their blocks, the way he set them up, and then he hit the hole, and then he's able to make the first man miss almost every single time. Like, there wasn't often where he got brought down in the open field one-on-one. Like, he's always making that first guy miss, and then even the second guy miss and stringing together moves, catches the ball well. Definitely needs to work on his pass pro, though. I had him. That was his lowest mark for me, too. But then, I mean, not just the quickness and agility, but he can hit it up inside and get you 4 to 5 yards with his play strength and his contact balance. He graded a 76.5 for me, which is really high. I mean, that's up there with Jonathan Taylor and Breece Hall from when I did my tape evaluations. So, I mean, going into it, I did not think at all like this guy would be that high whatsoever. No. But that's where he ended up for me. The way we all have him RB1 or RB2 amongst us four. I mean, just looking around.
I have him as RB3, by the way.
Okay.
I do have Jonathan Brooks ahead of him.
Looking around.
They have a tied score for me, so.
Across, like, there's not many people that have him that high. I mean, they're usually
five or
six.
I'm seeing him outside the top five, even.
Yeah. So, I think we may even be able to get a little discount, Marshawn Lloyd. Yeah. But we'll see how the draft goes. And that'll adjust a little bit for me, too. I don't think it'll move him off RB1 for me, unless he goes, like, round four or five, but.
Yeah. Last thing I want to throw out there, and Jared, I'm curious if you saw this as well, but for as good as his vision was initially at the line of scrimmage, I thought his vision was even better at the second level. And I thought he did a fantastic job of just not just understanding where the defenders were, but setting up defenders by utilizing his downfield blocks, being able to either widen out at certain points or cut right off to be able to defeat angles and things from defenders. Like, he really seems to understand the game well, which I really like out of running back. Because you don't have to be smart to be a good running back, but it does help. And he does seem like a guy that gets the game a little bit more than maybe some other running backs do.
Yeah, for sure. I saw that too. And I mean, anybody that starts their career in South Carolina always gets a slow start. I mean, you don't go there to go to the NFL and be productive. So I'm glad that he ended up transferring to USC. But, obviously I like him a lot.
And there are guys that things have slowed down for, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you could tell that they're moving faster than the defenders, you know, their brain is.
Yep.
And they're kind of outthinking guys. They're playing chess, basically, out there. And it's a great sign when somebody can do that. And some guys you never see it out of. Some guys, it's pretty evident when you find a guy that can, and he's one of these guys.
I saw some notes, too, that I had it noted next to his name. I didn't have an opportunity to do it, but I know Lance Zierlin, he said, like, I liked his 22 tape more than his 23 tape. Even though his 23 tape had more yards per carry, I actually thought he looked better on tape in 22. So I know I have some of that film, mm-hmm. and I had that noted here, so I can go back and watch that as well.
Yeah, I did 8 games of his. We have so much USC tape because of Caleb USC, Williams.
Yeah. I opened his film room tape, and it's like, oh, wow. Every game.
Yeah, I know. That's just all of them.
I had to keep going. So I'm like, two. Yeah.
I've been there.
Am I this high?
Players that I love. Like, I watched every Breece Hall snap I could possibly see. Cause like you said, I mean, the fact that you even have him graded the same as Breece Hall is crazy to me, because Breece Hall, even after I got done watching tape, I was like, he's one of the best running backs I've ever watched tape on.
Well, not only do I always want to watch as much as possible, but when I see somebody that I like, especially, you want to make sure that you're not just seeing the good. You want to see if
Watch his 3 best games of all time.
Right. Can I find some warts on this guy and kind of maybe something to pull the score down a little bit.
And granted, our grading system, it's not perfect, but it's done really well so far for us. Does it need tweaked a little? Maybe. We haven't tweaked it yet, but.
But the nerd score is outproduced draft capital so far. So yeah, it's working. It has. You know, this is going to be the fourth year we're doing it.
This is fifth.
The fifth year we're doing it.
Isn't that crazy?
Because looking back,
I remember when we first started, like, let's see how it goes.
Let's just try it.
Like, I agree. Like, looking back, watching Breece Hall, watching Marshawn Lloyd, like, I like Breece Hall more, but that's just, well, yeah, it's just how it's
it evolves. Out, so. I get it. Yeah. Sometimes you, when you grade the tape and just,
yeah,
I get it.
There are guys from the first year that like, and it was tough too, because that was the 2020 class was the first year we did it. And it was such a good class and we had no benchmark to go against.
Right.
So we're doing it against air the first time. And so, you know, going back, maybe there are things we do slightly differently, but now we have a much better baseline of things and whatnot. So I've even thought before, like, do we at some point not even worry about the first year, you know, and, but we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know.
I wouldn't.
I mean, it did well. So, well, at running back, not receiver.
All right. Next. Nerds, listen up. This is your last chance to take advantage of our free year offer through our promotion with Underdog Fantasy. Deposit at least $10 with Underdog using a promo code NERDS and receive a free one-year membership to Nerd Herd and the Dynasty GM bundle subscription to Dynasty Nerds. So you get everything we've always been talking about for a $10 deposit on Underdog using that promo code NERDS. This offer closes on April 30th, so don't miss out. We are almost through all our rookie breakdowns, and right now you can take advantage of these insights by drafting best ball teams, including this 2024 rookie class. Draft your team and don't worry about setting a lineup, making trades, or paying attention to the waiver wire. Use your leg up on these rookies against your competition. Remember, deposit at least $10 at Underdog using a promo code NERDS, and you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100 and a one-year free Dynasty GM and Nerd Herd bundle membership. Hurry up. This offer closes on April 30th. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus Alabama, Nebraska, 21 plus Massachusetts and Arizona, and presented in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live. Woo. On Sleeper right now. The Dynasty so GM, pretty. You use the analyzer. That you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You know, have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate set. All right, next guy up, Isaiah Davis, South Dakota State running back, 6'1¼", 218 pounds, 10¼-inch hands, 31⅛-inch arms, 74⅞-inch wingspan. He's 22 years old, and he just turned 22 in February. He ran a 4.57 in the 40. He had a 1.58 10-yard split. He had a 119-inch broad jump, 23 bench plus Brent. Jeez, oh man, bench press reps, 34¼-inch vertical. Last year in 15 games, he had 236 rush attempts, 1,578 yards rushing, 18 touchdowns, 23 receptions, 199 yards receiving, and one additional receiving touchdown.
I got excited to dive into Isaiah Davis' tape because I saw a lot of analysts that I respect liked Isaiah Davis. And I was like, this is going to be fun. Then I turned on the first game. I'm like, that's a big dude. Like, this is going to be fun. Then I hit play on the tape. And then all the fun washed away because I didn't have a good time watching this tape. I mean, first of all.
Tape's limited, too.
Yeah. And the tape we have, it's versus, like, low-end competition, right? Like,
it's South Dakota State.
I think the best team they play was North Dakota State, right? Or North Dakota. So for me, I mean, this is a guy that is a big guy.
Ding.
That could run over some people in college, Didn't have a lot of juice. Didn't have a lot of wiggle at all.
He looked real stiff to me.
Yeah. Hips real tight. I don't see any fantasy football. Like, he can come down and be like the goal line back. Like, he's like, oh, turn this dude into a fullback.
I don't know that he could ever be a fullback.
Probably not.
He looks, he does look stiff enough to be a fullback, if that's what you mean. I don't know, man. He was a small school guy. He dominated that level of competition, as you would hope if they're going to be coming to the NFL from there. But I don't know that he does enough well to be anything in the NFL. Listen, I guess if everything broke 100% in his favor, could he end up being like a Philip Lindsay type?
He's a lot bigger than Philip Lindsay.
He is a lot bigger, but I think they're similar in maybe their upside.
They're north south go.
Yeah, they're just going to be. That's all he is. He could fall into the right scenario where the bottom falls out and they're running back to depth and he's the last guy there. Could he do some things?
Offers nothing to pass a game.
Well, he had 23 catches.
I saw some catches that were away from his body that I liked.
Oh, I didn't say anything. I thought it was like a...
There were a couple that were outside of his frame that he caught. Look, I'm not very high on him either. I'm not a big Isaiah Davis guy. He got a 68 for me, so not above a 70. So there's not a lot to get overly excited about. He kind of reminded me if Zach Charbonnet didn't have good feet. Like, that's kind of what he reminded me of. A big back that I thought caught the ball decently well. Better north and south than east and west. Had some power, but you didn't see it as much as you wanted to see it out of his game. But he did break some tackles. But it was, I don't know.
Like, his feet weren't as slow as Zach Charbonnet is for me. Yeah. So one more jab.
So maybe not better feet. Maybe the same feet. But he was able to, like, he was able to break some tackles because he was bigger and stronger. And that's what kind of reminded me of Zach Charbonnet, where Zach Charbonnet didn't punish people. Like, you see some guys that are small, like Marshawn Lloyd at times will punish people. Like, you'll see different backs like man, that had to hurt. He has power, but he doesn't punish people. Like, people will just fall off him at times because he's a big, strong guy. But he doesn't seem to be able to utilize that power as a weapon to get that extra couple yards to get
I saw like a lot of inconsistency too, the way he'd run the ball. Like, sometimes you said like he tried to run and be the guy, and then sometimes he'd try to bounce it out a little bit. And sometimes he was able to bounce it out on one cut and then usually got about a couple yards. That was it.
Sure.
But then there's a lot of times he tried to bounce out and he would go nowhere. But then there's times he's just running to the back of his block. A lot of inconsistencies in his games that I didn't love. And you're right, for a guy as big as he was playing the competition, you think he'd like lay some dudes out, like lower that shoulder, get your pads down low.
That's a mentality thing. That's not a size thing. It really isn't. Yeah, and it's whether or not you want to deliver a hit or you're just trying to get through to an area. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the difference, and it's a mentality. And you either have that or you don't. I mean, I feel like
that, and I always appreciate guys that have that, because that was like, I was a good player, but I wasn't an amazing player, but that was always something that I valued. Like, if you're going to tackle me, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to feel it every time. And that wears down a defense, because after a while, you're like, I'm sore. Freak,
I gotta come and I gotta meet this dude in the hole again.
And there's certain guys that bring that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see that from him, because I think I would have been a little more excited that, hey, maybe he's not crazy fantasy upside, but man, he's going to punish guys. He's going to be great on the goal line short. Like, the tape was fine. Like, I don't think it was bad tape.
I can live with that sentiment, but from like taking all the factors of the tape together, I just don't see him as a fantasy football relevant.
Jace McClellan, Isaiah Davis, and then Braylon Allen, Bucky Irving, Isaiah Grindo. Like, those are the five guys that are kind of all right together.
I'd have him below in the whole below tier below. What do you think, Jerks?
I don't like him. I didn't. Well, you know what? The tough thing is, like, didn't have great tape on. Don't have a lot of tape to go off of with him. I would have loved to see more tape. I wish I had it. So right now I have him at 63. I had four games to watch. I watched all four. There wasn't a lot there that I liked or I saw that could turn into like fantasy production. I liked his size. I thought he had pretty good contact balance, but other than that, there just wasn't much there that I thought was good. So,
all right, I guess we're done with that one. Let me move on. Next guy, Will Shipley, Clemson running back, 5'11", 206 pounds, 9 5/8 inch hands, 30 1/4 inch arms, 74 1/8 inch wingspan. He is 21. He'll be 22 at the end of August. He did not run at the combine, but at his pro day, he had a 4.3940 at a 1.54 10-yard split. In the 20, he had a 4.1, or in the 20-yard shuttle, he had a 4.11. In the three cone, he had a 6.81. In the broad jump, 122 inches. Bench press, 16 times. 38 1/2 inch vertical.
Good numbers, man.
Those were really very good. Those are very good numbers. And we talk about pro day numbers all the time being a little bit skewed, so just take that into account.
For sure. Although it was interesting, Jim Nagy put out a tweet today that I thought was really interesting, that he's actually seen that he thinks the Indianapolis track is actually a fast track, and that's why we've seen better numbers in the 40 for a lot of these guys lately than we've seen in the past.
They're changing it this year.
That it's a little bit different, and so he thinks that he doesn't know why everybody's not running in Indianapolis, because he's like, I've seen a couple schools come back where their numbers seem way off and their stuff is much slower than Indianapolis. So
like the Georgia numbers that came in for
Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's why Brock Bowers didn't run. I know he had that injury, but that might've been why he was like, nah, I'm good enough.
Yep.
Nobody needs to worry about my numbers.
All right. So let me get through his numbers real fast. Speaking of which, in 12 games last year, 167 attempts, 827 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns, 31 catches, 244 yards receiving, and 2 additional receiving touchdowns.
So if you guys remember, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but we had Max Borgie come out.
Sure.
And Max Borgie was somebody that was hyped in the Devy community. This great pass catching running back. And I watched his tape and I wanted to puke. And I was like, all right, well, here we go. Max Borgie
2.0.
That was a Film Nerds episode, wasn't it?
I think we did. And we were like, why do people like this guy? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But
where did Max go to school?
He was at Washington State. Washington State. So I was fully prepared to have the same experience. And I was dead wrong. Like, I really liked his tape a lot more than I thought I was going to. This was a player that was one of the top running backs in his class coming out of high school. He was a high 4-star guy, just missed the cut of being a 5-star. I think he was like the 50th recruit in the country or something like that. So really highly regarded prospect coming out of high school. And while I do think that there is a little bit left to be desired between the tackles for Will Shipley, I don't think he's bad or a liability, but I don't think he necessarily excels between the tackles. I think he has decent vision, but doesn't have the power to move the pile and things like that. But I legitimately believe that had he trained this way and played this position in college, as opposed to running back, I think he could be a slot receiver in the NFL had he trained that way. You watch him run routes, like he looks like a receiver running routes, very natural pass catcher, really elusive in the open field.
Yeah.
Like I get it if you don't love him because he's not going to be a monster between the tackles, but if he gets to a scheme that will utilize him as a pass catcher, which is a big if, because there's plenty of teams that have amazing pass catching running backs and don't use them that way, and it's infuriating. But if he goes to the right scheme and system, he could be one of the top scoring backs in this class because he will dominate in the receiving game.
Yeah, I like this tape a lot too, actually. I don't, from a fantasy football perspective, again, that's how I view these guys. And between the tackles, no bueno, not very good. Can be used there. Yeah.
I felt like he had really good patience, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was.
I think like he's almost like a Devon Achane between the tackles. I think Achane was tougher and a little bit better between tackles, even though he's smaller. But he can be used between not Achane. Alvin Kamara is a better example. Like Kamara could be used between the tackles, but he doesn't really excel there. Shipley does not excel between the tackle whatsoever. But I really like him everywhere else. Like, I like him, and like you said, the passing game. I love how quickly he can accelerate. His burst, his acceleration is so quick. He's very fluid in everything he does.
Yes.
He's got really good contact balance. And you mentioned how he is in open field. I love the way he stacks his moves. Like, he'll stack moves on defenders multiple different times to get him those extra yards, and he's not afraid to jump over a player as well. So he catches the ball really well. I think he does offer a lot of fantasy football upside. And pre-draft rankings, just on the tape alone, I have him in a standalone tier right after that third group. So 1, 2, he's my fourth tier all by himself.
So he's running back 5 for you?
He is running back 6, I believe.
Okay, me. I have him at 7, but I could see him getting as high as 5 for me.
I can definitely, 100% I can see him getting higher in the right offense, the right scheme, the right draft capital. He's definitely somebody I could boost, because what that is going to show me, more so the draft capital, is that if he goes on day 2 somehow, some way, which I don't know if he will or not.
I think he's a round 4 guy.
Probably. But say, I'm saying, if he does find somehow going, like, I know a team's drafted him to utilize him and scheme for him. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm asking for, is him to be a part of the game plan. Because if you can manufacture him 10 touches per game, right around there where he's getting the ball, you know, right around there, whether it be the passing game or out in screens or get him to the outside, there's definitely some upside here for him to score you 10 points per game right around there. So I really did. I'm with you. I like this tape. I think he could be a very solid running back 2 on an NFL team and your fantasy football team in the right situation. I'm really excited to see where he goes, because he's a very exciting play, a very exciting, fun, fast, explosive, shifty player.
Yeah, no, I
stunningly this stupendous. There's
so many descriptive words there. Strung it together.
He was an odd guy to, I think, try to nail down, right? Because he is a hard guy to, I think, picture in the NFL operating between the tackles. He doesn't offer much physicality or tackle breaking in that capacity anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to think, hey, how is this guy going to win? How is he going to operate in the NFL? And I think it is catching passes. I think that's going to be his likely kind of initial role in the NFL. Can it grow? I mean, we've seen it grow with other guys. You know, an Austin Eckler type of guy, you know, comes to mind when, you know, like he showed enough that the coaches finally gave him the trust and kind of let him run with that job. Granted, it was I think short term thing for him. Where they kind of wore him down and they realized, okay, maybe he's better used just in the passing game, and that might be what Shipley's route is. You know, where he gets a year where he's getting everything or something like that.
At least he has the size though that a lot of other pass catchers don't. Like at 210,
yeah,
he's got enough size.
I mean, you're rounding up. He's 206, but
okay, closer to that than 200.
Sure,
but almost 6 foot.
Which is, I think, a negative.
His BMI is not great.
Yeah, which is a negative. He's taller and 206. So
got some opportunity to gain weight.
Listen, sure, we all do.
Amen.
Well, all we got to do is not push away from the buffet.
What do you grade him at, Matt?
I am right around a 70, a little above a 70.
I had a 70.
And I think he's going to be a guy that's an RB2 most likely. So I think we're all kind of saying the same thing, or we feel the same way, even though maybe we're expressing it in different ways. But I think it's going to be a pass catching role that kind of gets him on the field and gets him fantasy relevant.
Same thing. I texted Garrett earlier. I was like, I had a note here. It's like, is this a slot receiver playing running back? So
yeah,
I echo the same sentiment. Sentiment. Anyway,
I like cinnamon buns.
I had 3 guys rated at a 70. I had Braylon Allen, Imani Bailey, and Will Shipley. Out of those 3, I would take Will Shipley because of his PPR upside. Like, that's how he's going to win. That's how he's going to have to be fantasy relevant, is catching the football. And I thought he was extremely good at route runner, like out there on the angle routes. Honestly, reminded me of like CMC out there catching the ball. Even open field, stringing together moves, making people miss. So I'm right there with you guys. I would take Shipley probably around RB7 for me. Is that where you said you had?
Yeah, I'm RB7 at the moment. I could see him getting as high as with landing spot and all that kind of stuff. I could see him potentially getting as high as like RB4 or 5 in the class for me.
Yeah.
I'm not quite there at the moment, just because he doesn't offer the total package.
I got him as running back five. I lied.
Let's five. At the end of this episode, we're gonna go through our top five for each of us.
I think he's seven to me. We should be, or no, he's eight.
He's eight.
Wow. Okay. So I have the highest. I'm at this running back five.
Five. Okay. And like I have Bucky at five. I actually have Braylon Allen at six. So I just said I would take him over Allen, but that would depend on draft capital when they're that close.
Yeah. I have Blake Corum, Braylon Allen, and Ray Davis all in the tier behind him. It's just because I like his PPR upside so much, I put him by himself in his own tier.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think, and by the numbers, I have him at eight, but I have Ray Davis like a half of a point higher than him, and I wouldn't take Ray Davis ahead of him. Yeah. So there's probably some tweaking I need to do on one of those guys' scores.
Sure.
How old is he again, Matt?
22.
Yeah, he just turned 20.
21 and
or no,
half,
he's,
right?
he's 21 now. He'll turn 22 in August, end of August.
All right. Well, yeah. I'm next. August 30th.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right.
From Silver Spoons.
From Silver Spoons to... Silver sneakers. Cody Schrader, Missouri running back. Oh, 5'8" and 1.5 inches. Garrett hates him already. He is 202.
My name
pounds.
Is Jared.
Just pulled a Rich.
Garrett feels the same. Yeah, I know.
These next two guys, can we just put them together?
9 and 8. That would be one short round running back.
Even if you put them together, they still would be bad. Like other guys, you put them together, like they would be great if you put these two guys together. They would just complement the worst parts of each other.
All right, can I get through these measurables?
Oh, fine.
5'8.5", 202 pounds. He is 9 1/8 inch hands. He's got 28 1/8 inch arms. Wingspan of 68 5/8 inches. He is 24. He'll be 25 in November. He ran a 4.61 in the 40, a 1.55 10-yard split, so not bad, especially considering he pulled a hammy while running it. He had a 33-inch vertical, which I don't know how he did with a pulled hammy. Last year at Missouri, he had in 13 games, he had 276 rush attempts, 1,627 yards, 14 touchdowns, 22 receptions, 191 yards receiving, and no additional touchdowns. Rich, is this you or Garrett?
That's Rich.
Rich, you're up.
Richard.
Oh, man.
Listen, he's a try-hard guy, right? I mean, this
he's like Rudy, you know, like
he was a walk-on, wasn't he?
He was. He was. I think he had a
props to him.
He's what's his age again? He's old, right?
He's 24. He'll be 25 in November.
He'll be 25, man. he runs low, almost like when you're giving to like a kid a football and he like just grabs a football and puts his head down and doesn't even look where he's going. He like just runs with his head down and then he's letting his body do the rest.
Like, it's like his coach has told him get north and south. So that's all he ever did.
Yeah. Like, listen here, Cody, little Cody, get over here. We're going to give you the ball and I just want you to go.
Come on. He's 1,600 yards last year.
Yeah. I mean, it's
magic.
I mean, dude, no, I didn't see any good cuts. I didn't see for how big he was. I didn't see him run strong. I didn't see him like
he's
run
not
through
that
people.
Big. He's 202 pounds. He's not that.
Oh,
big.
Sorry. I thought he was. I didn't even read his size. Okay, 5 foot. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's 5'8", 202.
He's two.
So you just saw the speed and assumed he was a big guy.
he's a try hard guy.
I read it back. I thought he was 5'8", 220. It's 5'.
Yeah, it's all right. Transposed a number there.
Yeah, he's a small guy that doesn't do anything good. Like, he doesn't cut good. He's not fast. He doesn't have good bursts. He's not breaking tackles.
His vision wasn't terrible.
Listen, I think he's a guy that operates well between the tackles. That's his strong point. I just don't think he can do it at the NFL. I just don't think he's fast enough.
Doesn't
or big
catch
enough
the ball well
to do it.
Pass blocked okay.
Yeah, because he's just like, you get out there, little Billy, and you put your head down.
He doesn't have a ton of power for a guy that's going to be operating between the tackles. There's not a lot there to like.
Off my board.
I think he maximized his potential in his year 24 season this past year in college.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like 8 years ago when he was a sophomore.
No, he played last year at 24. He was a boy against men or men against boys, and he played well. I just don't think he can do that in the NFL.
There were only two guys that got below a 60 for me. He is one of the two. Unfortunately, the next guy is the other one.
Oh,
the
next guy's even worse.
So
that tells you anything.
The next guy is, for me, far and away worse. I think there were some admirable things about Cody's game.
I think you just...
He's a fiery son.
You read the Hallmark story version of it, and you like him because of that. And Cody, I get it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, he's like a Hallmark story.
He was almost in the 40s for me.
He almost got into the 40s.
I know how your score of the year he's born.
Yeah.
All right, guys. There's nothing nice to say. Don't say anything at all. So next guy.
He's a great guy. I would love to party with him.
Mayan Williams.
We can drink legally for sure.
Mayan Williams, Ohio State running back.
Oh, dear God.
5'8" 229 pounds.
Got my Buckeyes hat on for him.
9-inch hands, 28 and 5/8 inch arms, 69 and 5/8 inch wingspan. He's 22. He'll be 23 in October. He didn't run anything in last year in six games.
He did. He's just still running.
Stop button. Six games last year. He was injured, so he played six in 49. He had 49 attempts, 158 yards, three touchdowns, four receptions, 42 yards.
From the moment this guy stepped on Ohio State field, and the first time I saw him get a carry, I'm like, that guy sucks. And he's never disappointed from my original statement since. From every time he got the football, I'm
like, he had some moments, though, for the Buckeyes. But, yeah, his tape sucked.
Yeah,
he scored 14 touchdowns in 2022.
I think last year he was better than this past year.
I totally agree. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was the injury. I don't know if he didn't properly train in the offseason.
Everything
that
said about Strader, it says about tight hips, not fast, doesn't break. Yeah.
Honestly, no burst. we're wasting our time talking about him this month.
Have you seen my tweet earlier about Mayan Williams?
Yeah, you actually liked him a year ago and thought he might be a first-round rookie pick.
Yeah, I tweeted the funny something thing about is, it. I was like, wow, this is my worst ever
I thought I texted you one time because there was somebody that put an NFL mock draft out in 22. And I thought I texted you. Maybe I didn't. But they had Mayan Williams going at the end of the first round of the 23 NFL draft. And I was like,
of the NFL draft?
Yes, of the NFL draft. And I was like, is this the worst take of all time?
He's like rolling a bowling ball in a quicksand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, he definitely
it goes just for a second and then it just sinks.
Solid games as a Buckeye. Like, I remember,
a while ago, like years ago.
Yeah. Last year, he was,
in a land far, far away.
2023, he was bad. 2022, he was not bad.
He was not good.
He was never great. He got us through some tough times.
He was a big kid.
And 2022 was his good year.
Yep.
He was
good-ish.
Even then, he wasn't
good. Listen, he's not bad at pass pro.
He's not going to get drafted.
He's not going to get drafted. The bottom line is this is a fantasy football podcast. He doesn't have any fantasy football relevance.
No. Yep.
We've wasted too much time on him already. So that's probably true. Let's just wrap up this.
Let's go through our top fives.
Yeah, let's wrap this show up.
All right. I'll go first. Top five in order are Trey Benson, Tier Break, Jonathan Brooks, Marshawn Lloyd,
dramatic pause,
Jalen Wright, Tier Break, Will Shipley.
That's five.
Top five.
All right, I'm going to go next. I got
Tier Break.
I'm going to cry during my Tier Break.
Sometimes you need to water yourself to grow.
These running backs are just that bad. Marshawn Lloyd is my number one, and then Trey Benson, who is literally 0.5 or 0.05. points lower. So those guys are really just indistinguishable so far for me as my number one and number two. And then I've got Jalen Wright's my next highest nerd score. Holy cow. Who knew?
I didn't look at it yet.
I think Jonathan. I thought Jonathan
just
Brooks
sorted them all.
I thought Jonathan Brooks would be, but it's not. It's Jalen Wright and then Jonathan Brooks, and then for me, my next highest nerd score is.
Ding-a-ding.
It's
you got to sort these bad boys.
Yeah, I didn't. it's Blake Corum. He's my number five.
Wow. Okay. Up there. Right. Yeah. Got Garrett.
And I do think there's a big gap between the top four guys and then the rest.
I agree.
Trey Benson,
yep.
Jonathan Brooks, and Marshawn Lloyd have identical scores, so place them how you will. Jalen Wright for me at four, and then I have Rasheen Ali at five.
Oh, man, Rasheen Ali. You know, dude, I forgot about you, him.
You know who's number six for me,
who?
By the way?
Who?
Imani Bailey.
Wow.
I like Imani Bailey. He made my tears.
He's in my top eight.
Yeah.
I mean, I like him, but I don't like him that high.
So I have,
and then Will Shipley.
I got Marshawn Lloyd in his own tier at one, then Benson and Wright and Brooks all in their own tier in that order, and then Bucky Irving is RB5.
Wow. We all have different RB5s.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Which it's just like all
the top four are the guys that I could see being...
Goofballs out there.
Will Shipley be the best one, so...
Crowd me. For what it's worth, six is Corum, seven is Shipley, and then those are the only guys that got above 70 for me.
Yeah, yep. My whole next tier is Blake Corum, Braylon Allen, Ray Davis is my next tier. So like they could be easily be my six anywhere they go.
I got Allen, Bailey, and Shipley.
I got Bailey in the next tier.
Nice.
With Irvin, Tyrone Tracy, and Estime.
Tracy.
So that's it. We'll be back. Well, they'll be back next week doing what? You guys are doing a mock draft?
Yeah, we are.
Doing the mock draft.
Startup mock draft.
Startup mock draft with the rookies in it, right?
That's correct.
And we got to put that on the Discord. Let's get it going.
All right.
Let's do the startup.
I'll be back the following week breaking down the rookies. Alongside one, don't break my back more or die in an avalanche.
Well, I really do wish the best for you. I hope neither one of those things happen.
I hope.
Cross your fingers. Cross your toes.
Ooh.
He was really excited about that. Ooh, ooh, hey.
No, Rich is always talking about his toes.
It's true. He is a big feet guy. Somebody, like his feet, not other people. Yeah,
somebody said he had his nice feet Bethany? A long time ago. And
Becky? Bethany?
Oh, Mary Beth.
Mary Beth.
I'll never forget exactly where I was standing.
Oh, my God. Adios.